Find in your Bible, if you would, again, the Gospel of John. If you were here last week, you could probably go to John chapter 1. If you were not here last week, maybe find John 1 and John chapter 20. Both of these texts you will need. We began last week a series, making our way through the Gospel of John. The book has 21 chapters. There will be multiple times that there will be more than one message preached out of the chapter. And so I am anticipating this series running through all of 2020 on a Sunday morning. And I submit to you that this is a big book. What we are embarking on is a big journey. And I'm asking God to do a big work in our hearts and our minds and in our lives. I have entitled the series, as you see on the screen, in the little box there, "That Ye Might Have Life." I get that phrase from the key verses of the book, which we talked about last week. You find the key verses of the book in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. These verses read, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." So what is recorded in the Gospel of John, we know to be chosen by the Holy Spirit of God, but not just randomly chosen, powerfully and poignantly chosen for the purpose of the book. And you find, as you move into the key verse, the purposes of the book. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might," say it class, "believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And so the purpose of the book is designed that you would have life through the name of Jesus. We know that the theme of the book is supported by the purpose of the book. And the theme of the book is the exaltation of the deity of Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the other three gospel writers, their books concentrate on the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Matthew is very much writing to Jewish people, so he's interested in the human genealogy of Jesus because he desires to prove to the nation that Jesus, not only as God, but on a human level, has the right to sit on the throne of his father David because he's of the lineage of David. Mark presents the human suffering of the Lord Jesus, and Luke presents him as the Son of Man. As Adam was the federal head of the human race, Jesus is the man that will save the human race. Okay? So their concentration is on his humanity. John changes that. And John exalts the deity of the Lord Jesus, proving that he is the Messiah, he is God's Messiah, he is the Son of God, yea, he is God. In the key verses, there are three words that you should have circled. They help in understanding the book. They're found all throughout the book. The first word was the word signs. It's in verse number 30. It's the word miracles. It's used 17 times in the book. These signs and miracles are different the way John presents them than the way the other writers present them. The other writers present them to show the power of God. John writes that uses them to show the purposes of God. And what do I mean by that? They're teaching signs. The miracles that the Lord Jesus did were never intended for people to put faith in miracles. Miracles do not make you a Christian. People struggle with this. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. How did you become a Christian? Oh, let me tell you about it. We were on the road. We were in a car accident, and we should have died. And in the moment, I don't know where they came from. It might have been an angel, somebody, but God pulled me out of that. And man, that was the day I became a Christian. No, that's the day you didn't die, but that's not how you become a Christian. Or, man, Pastor, I was unconscious. I had a vision. I saw a light. I had a moment there. And man, I just know I am a Christian. No, my friend, you may have had a moment. You may have seen a light. God may have spared your life. I don't know. You experienced something supernatural. I hope you treasure it. That does not make you a Christian. You become a Christian by faith and faith alone. So people get all giddy on miracles, and sometimes they read the Word of God, and the miracles that the Lord Jesus were never designed to have faith in the miracle. They were designed to prove that the one doing the miracle is worthy of your faith. So when Jesus and John feeds the 5,000, it's also followed by a discourse, "I'm the bread of life." Okay? So they're teaching signs. Now these signs are designed for the second key word we talked about last week, and that's the word believe in verse number 31. And you should have that word circled. 98 times in the Gospel of John is believe, 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 believe. That you might believe is the purpose of the signs, and it's the desire of the Apostle John that we would believe. And what we would believe, look at verse number 31 of chapter 20. "But these are written that you might believe anything you want." Does your Bible say that? It better not. "But that we might believe," what's the next word? "That." Come on, John chapter 20, verse 31. The 8:30 could get a permission for not getting the word. Not you. You got to sleep. Right? Okay? So let's go back. Verse 31. "These are written that you might believe," what? "That." Single. Purpose. Specific. "That Jesus is the Christ." So the whole purpose of the book of John is to bring about belief in our lives. As we reckon who Jesus is, we reckon who we are. And that belief, as that belief develops and as it is submitted to through my heart, it brings about confession of my sin. It brings about submission to the Lord Jesus. The third word is the word life. And that word is used 34 times. And he's talking about spiritual life there. The only way that you have spiritual life is by believing on Jesus. Okay, so the signs, the miracles that are in this book, specifically chosen by the Spirit of God, are used by the Lord Jesus to teach, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am water. I am the water that you'll never thirst again. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door." All of these things. And as the Lord Jesus is teaching that, and the signs are proving who he is, it's designed to bring about belief. And then that belief brings about spiritual life into our being. So signs, belief, and life are important. And this was the introduction. Now come to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And somewhere by the top of your Bible, verses 1 to 18, write the word prologue. John 1, 1 to 18 is called the prologue of the Bible, of the book of John. And this is where John exalts his purpose specifically as it is to the Lord Jesus. And this is where I want to begin. And I want to take verse number 10 today and preach to you a message entitled, "He Came Into the World." Look, if you would, at verse number 10. The Bible says, John says, "He," that's of Jesus, "was," past tense, "in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him how?" Not, right? Powerful when we get there, all right? So remember, everything, even the key verse being located at the back of John is to reflective and retrospect. So John says, as you've read all that the signs that I've put in this book that were designed to bring about belief in your heart and your mind, that would then bring about life, as you read these, this is why I wrote them, that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In the prologue of the book, John says, fellas, he was in the world. And he's grabbing their attention, letting them know that, and really, in reality, that God was in the world. He was in the world that he made, and he's reminding them of how he was received in the world. And this is all prologue, so that as John presents the Lord Jesus in his deity and exalts that, they can say, oh yeah, that was Messiah. He was in the world. He was there. And so as we begin that and taking that topic, I have some thoughts today, and you can write these down as I give them to you. John says, he was in the world. Now, why is this important? Look, if you would, please, at verse number 18. No man hath seen God at what? Pastor, I had a vision and I saw the face of God. No, you didn't. You had a vision and you saw somebody's face. You didn't see the face of God. Nobody, according to the Bible, has ever seen the face of God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In the bosom of the Father. Remember last time week I told you that throughout the book of John, there is the equation or the equality or the equity or the equalness of God the Father with God the Son. And John says, listen, in essence, God was in the world. We've seen God as we have seen the Lord Jesus. No man has seen God the Father, but God the Son has declared the Father to us. By the way, the reason the Son can declare the Father to us is because he's from the bosom or the unity of the Father. So I go back to this. You cannot say you believe in God and deny Jesus. You cannot reject the Father and receive the Son, because the Son came from the Father. And you cannot reject the Son and receive the Father. You have to take them both together. Jesus said, if you believe him that has been sent, you must believe the one that sent him. So many times people say, oh yeah, man, I believe in God. I don't think Jesus is God. Oh, I'm going to heaven because I believe there's a God, but he's just a man. If he's just a man, nobody's going to heaven. Amen. Little theology here, but you can swallow it, right? So John says, listen, I need you to understand that God was in the world in human form, fully God, fully man, not half God, half man, not a freak. Jesus is not a freak. He's the God-man. Well, what part of him is God? All of him. Well, what part of him is man? All of him. No, like the top half and the bottom half, he's not a freak, right? He's fully God and he's fully man. Tell me you believe that by saying amen, okay? So the Son reveals to us the Father. So, fellas, God was in the world. Now, John says, if you think that's deep, let me begin with this. Before he was in the world, he was in eternity. Verse number one. In the beginning. That should sound familiar to you. In the beginning was the, say the word. Word, capital W. It's a name. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word, what class? was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So John says, now, he came into the world, but prior to coming into the world, he was in eternity. Let me explain something to you. Jesus did just not all of a sudden exist 2,000 years ago when he became a man. He's eternal God. And John stressed this, even Jesus did. Boy, those Jews, they wanted to go back to the beginning. And so they wanted to find their righteousness and their credibility based off of Abraham. We be of the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, well, before Abraham was, I am. At the burning bush, Moses said, who are you? Jesus said, I am that I am. And what John is letting them know is that he came into the world, but prior to coming into the world, he's eternal God. The word is used 1,200 times as an expression in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word is given as the name to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the expression and the communication of the word. He is the inspired, incarnate word. Jesus, as the word being made flesh among us, that is God's revelation of himself to humanity. So Jesus being revealed as a human is God revealing himself to the world. Matter of fact, look if you would please at verse number 17. In verse number 17, the Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by who, class? Jesus. Look if you would at verse number 14, after the word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. They're speaking there when they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw him in his deity. And so John says, you want to go back to a beginning, I'll take you even further back than creation. Even before the world was created, Jesus is God. He's eternal. Before he came into the world, he was in eternity. Boy, that sure exalts him in his deity and exalts him in his humanity. That sure makes him more important than a curse word we use. Amen. John says, now, understand this too about Jesus. He was in the world. Before he came into the world, he was in eternity. And before he came into the world, he made the world. So important is it to reckon Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, and exalt him in his deity. And the evidence of his deity is his creative ability and his creation. Matter of fact, his name is evidence of his creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The next verse says, and God said, let there be light. How was the world created by God? Through his word. Jesus is the word. John's saying, fellas, he came into a world that he created. Let me just be very practical here. You cannot exalt the deity of Jesus Christ and believe in evolution. That would be like saying, I believe God, I don't believe Jesus is God. You can't separate Jesus from God. They are one. Jesus came from the bosom. They are united in equality. You cannot strip from God, as in his exaltation of his deity, his creative ability. To deny Jesus his right as creator is to deny him in deity. And by the way, it's in recognition of his creation of us that ought to demand submission of us. If you just believe that you blew up and you're here or you evolved, then you have allegiance to nobody. No wonder you can look and say, don't you dare tell me to submit. I owe you nothing. You have no ability or authority over me. I came by myself. I will serve myself. I will live unto myself. If you're going to teach society that they're not created, then they're going to become gods themselves. But when you teach them there is a God and he created you, therefore you have a personal responsibility to believe and submit to him, that brings you into confrontation that you're not God, that you're a human, and there's only one God. His name is Jesus. Okay? So before he was in the world, he's eternal. His birth to Mary was not his beginning. Before he came into the world, he created the world. Why did he come into the world? Oh, this is great. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Circle life and circle light. Important, imperative. And the light shineth in what class? Darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now we know from John 1, and we know from the rest of the Bible, that our God is a God of light, right? Light and life. Two things that are paramount to God. Matter of fact, so important to God is light that the first thing he created in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, and God said, let there be light, right? So he's speaking of physical light there, but he also created physical life at the end of creation, which in essence in our humanity also had spiritual life. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And when God created the world, there was physical light, and there was spiritual light, and there was life, eternal life. The world knew light. Adam and Eve knew light as they walked with the Lord in his infinite wisdom. The world knew life as it was sustained, and they knew spiritual life as they trusted the Lord. So why, when Jesus came into the world, was it dark? Why was it distant? Why did he once again have to bring life and light to humanity? Okay. John will tell you, and the Bible will tell you, because sin came into the world. And when Adam morally chose to sin against God, spiritual light and spiritual life went to darkness and death. Where art thou, Adam? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? I've sinned against God. Death and the separation of Adam and Eve away from the garden. Here's what you need to understand. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for all have what? Sin. So when Jesus came into the world, John says he came into the world, and the reason he came into the world was because the world was in darkness. The world had lost its light and had lost its spiritual life. And the world was in necessity of those two things. I don't know about you, but as a born-again Christian, I thank God that I have spiritual light and spiritual life. And this is why Jesus came into the world. The how he came into the world is so important. Verse 14. And the Word, capital W, was made what? Flesh. Human. And dwelt among us. Why would God enter into his creation and enter into his world in flesh? Why didn't he come in just his deity? They saw him. John said, I beheld his glory. He's talking about that Mount of Transfiguration. He's talking about when Jesus from the inside just became brilliant and white and glory, and they got a manifestation of who he was. He said, listen, we beheld that glory that came straight from the Father, man. There was no glory like that. Moses' face shone with that glory, and Jesus radiated with that glory. Why didn't he just come like that? Why would he be veiled in flesh? The reason for that is this. It was because of man that man lost his light and his life. And it would be because of man that man would regain his light and his life. Bang that around and tell me you understand that. Let me help it this way. Man took us into sin. A man has to take us out. The first Adam is earthy, sinful, broke the fellowship and relationship with God. The second Adam restored that. Because of the first Adam, we have the law, which was written on stone, that brought about condemnation in our lives. This Adam came with grace upon grace and truth and life and mercy and salvation. And the reason is that Jesus, as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is because it was going to take flesh to redeem flesh. But none of our flesh could do that because we're all sinners. Our money couldn't buy it, our works couldn't earn it, and our blood couldn't cover it. So John says, now fellas, he was in the world. Prior to being in the world, he was in eternity. He made the world. The world knew light and it knew life. Sin, our sin extinguished that light and that life. And in the Father's love for the world, he sent the Son. And the Son came into the world and was made flesh. And the Son came into the world to bring life and to bring light. And I'm telling you, if you will believe that he's the Son of God, he can bring life to you. Okay? Now, how did the world receive him? Look, if you would please, at verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Unbelievable. John says, he was here, and you didn't care. He was here, and you willfully didn't care. Now listen to this part of the message because this is so powerful. There is a difference between ignorance and willful ignorance. There is a difference between innocent ignorance and purposeful ignorance. It goes like this. You know, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I'm just not ready to be saved. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So let me put it to you point blank. Once you know who Jesus is, and once you know who you are as a sinner, and once you know what he has done as the Savior, you're ready to be saved. You might not be willing, but you're ready. John says he came and presented himself as to who he is. He showed us who we are. He gave his life as the Lamb of God, and nobody wanted him. If you know who Jesus is, I'm saying again, and you know who you are, and you know what he's done, don't you dare in your mind try to comfort yourself by saying, I'm just not ready. You're not willing. Big difference between simple ignorance and willful ignorance. I see that made a point. Verse number 12 will be done. But as many as received him, if that's you, would you say amen? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that, say that word, believe. See, there's that formal reception. I know who Jesus is as God. I know who I am as a sinner, and I know who he is as a Savior. And in the presentation of him and the signs and as the Word has brought about belief in my heart that he's the Christ, he's the Son of God. In believing who he is, I'm confessing who I am, and I'm putting all of my faith and belief in him, which then in turn, I have life through his name. Those that do receive life, those that don't have not life, and the wrath of God abideth on them. Pastor, why should I believe this? How can I believe this? Look, if you would, at verse number 6. There was a man sent from who? Whose name was John. The same came for a what? Look, if you would, at verse 15. John bare witness of him, speaking of Jesus, and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." John was born 6 months before Jesus, but Jesus was before him because he's eternal God. "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." So here's in the Bible days, a witness was a very powerful position to be. You had to have things established in the mouths of two or three witnesses. It's that way in our court system today, the power of a witness. And John says to the people, listen, he was in the world. He evidenced that himself, but also God sent a witness to who he was. Now, the witness wasn't him. The witness was to bear witness that Jesus is the light. That's John the Baptist. I submit to you today that there is plenty of witness to humanity that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If a person knows who God is and knows who they are and knows what Jesus has done to save them and willfully rejects, they will not be able to say they did not know. They have the Word of God as a witness. They have the Holy Spirit as a witness. They have the Church of God as a witness. They have their conscience as a witness. And they have creation as a witness that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He was in the world. If you've received him, say amen.